Good morning and welcome to our worship today. Over 500 years ago, Christians were under tremendous pressure. They were forced to defend themselves. The pressure continues still today with opposition to the truths of God's word. But we take comfort that Christ is with us, and we move forward with the promise of his presence. Today we celebrate the Reformation, Reformation Day of October 31st, 1517. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we confess, we're going to use the confession from Luther's Small Catechism. The confession has two parts. The one is that we confess our sins, the other that we receive forgiveness from the pastor as from God Himself, not doubting but firmly believing that our sins are thus forgiven before God in heaven. And so we turn to our Lord and confess, Father, I have sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your child. Yet in mercy, you sacrificed your only son to purge away my guilt. For his sake, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And in the joy of your Holy Spirit, let me serve you all my days. And by the authority of Christ, our sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We collect our thoughts in prayer. Almighty God, through the preaching of your servants, the blessed reformers, you cause the light of the gospel to shine forth. Grant that we may faithfully defend it against all enemies and joyfully proclaim it to the salvation of people everywhere, to the glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first lesson is from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. We'll begin reading at verse 31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts. I'll be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is God's word. And we have a reading from the epistles, Romans chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. This is God's word. And our final lesson is from the Gospels, John chapter 8. We'll begin reading at verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess our Christian faith with Martin Luther's explanation to the third article. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead, and he will give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. Amen. We turn now then to our message for today. The message will come to us from Exodus chapter 14. I'll read it in a moment. I want to begin with some important dates, three to be exact. July 4th, 1776, is when independence was declared by the Second Continental Congress. December 7th, 1941, the Japanese bomb Pearl Harbor. We enter, as Americans, World War II. September 11th, 2001. Our peace is shattered very close to home. These are just three earth-shaking events that took place in our nation. Today, our focus is going to go beyond the shores of our nation and reaches out to the world. The Reformation was an earth-shaking event. In the bulletin that people have today, there's a picture that doesn't look like something that's earth-shaking. It's a Catholic monk named Martin Luther, pounding 95 theses on the church door in Wittenberg. The church door served as a bulletin board, and Luther wrote these 95 theses in Latin, intending them to be read only by the educated. Oh, was he for a surprise. Within 2 weeks, these 95 theses were translated into German and had spread throughout Germany. And within 2 months, they had spread throughout Europe. What Luther did on October 31st, 1517, was truly an earth-shaking event. Through Luther and the Reformation, the Lord touched millions of lives, just as the Lord had done thousands of years earlier through another man and another earth-shaking event. I read then from Exodus chapter 14. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen." This is God's word. When did God pick Moses to lead his people out of Egypt? It was not at the burning bush. It was 80 years earlier, when his parents floated their infant son out on the Nile River in a picnic basket. Do you think that it was a coincidence that Pharaoh's daughter was bathing in the river and just happened to find him? No way. It was all a part of God's earth-shaking plan. a plan that took place at the shores of the Red Sea. Verse 13, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid, stand firm. You will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." On November 19, 1483, a woman in Eisleben, Germany, gave birth to her first child, a son. The next day, the child was taken to the chapel of St. Peter's Church to be baptized. And because it was the festival of St. Martin, the new parents decided to name their new baby Martin. Both Moses and Martin were part of God's earth-shaking plan. The plan was to free people who were slaves. The Israelites were slaves to work, for which they received no pay. The people of Luther's time were slaves to works, works which they thought they could pay for their sins. And with that slavery came fear. No sooner had Israel left Egypt when Pharaoh changed his mind. He went after the Israelites with the horses, the chariots, tanks of that time. He caught up with the Israelites at the Red Sea, and now with water in front of them and an angry king and an army behind them, the Israelites were stuck between a rock and a hard place, and they were terrified. The people of Luther's time were slaves of fear, fear from a guilty conscience, fear of facing an angry God when they died. They had a fear of not having done enough to earn God's favor. The 95 theses that Luther posted on the church door spoke out against indulgences. Indulgences were like get out of jail cards in Monopoly. They paid for sins or time in purgatory and left people with horrible fear. What if I haven't paid enough? The church at that time left the people in the dark. The greatest joy in life was not shared. The people were left in the dark, not knowing or being told that on Calvary's cross, Jesus paid for our sins in full when he said, "It is finished." Because of sin, we are slaves too. Sometimes numbers are thrown around that it just can't even be comprehended, especially when it comes to a debt, say even the national debt. Well, we might not be able to comprehend such a huge debt, but we can comprehend that each of us also owes a bigger debt than that to God because of our sin. And yes, those little sins rack up just as much debt as the big ones. The unkind words, the selfish action, sin after sin after sin buries us in debt and makes us slaves to sin, death, and the devil. And no matter how hard we try, sin locks us up inside a prison of guilt and fear. We can't get out. So from the men that God used, let's go to the means God used to carry out those earth-shaking events. Verses 15 and 16. The Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." The means God used to deliver his people from slavery of the Egyptians was water. Through his almighty power, God parted the waters of the Red Sea. The Israelites could walk across a dry land. This is not some fairy tale. It's a historic fact. And verse 17 says, "I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen." The water that saved Israel destroyed Pharaoh and his army. Hardened in unbelief, refusing to acknowledge God's power and might, Pharaoh's pride barked out the order, "Go after them, kill them, destroy them," and we all know what happened. The water came rushing down. Water killed and destroyed them. God used something much more powerful, precious, to free Luther and the people of the Reformation from their slavery to sin. Moses lifted his hands at the Red Sea. Martin Luther put his hand around the hammer and pounded those nails into the church door. Jesus lifted his hands at Calvary. He had his nails pounded into his hands on Calvary's cross. That was the greatest earth-shaking event the world has ever seen. When the nation of Israel crossed the Red Sea, they were free. When the Holy Spirit convinced Luther that he was saved by grace alone, by faith alone, by scripture alone, he was free. And we too are free. By grace alone we're free. God's grace covers all people, all sin. By faith alone we are free. Faith that clings to Jesus completely for forgiveness. By scripture alone we are free. Scripture that God uses to create faith in our hearts. Isn't that more than anything what the Reformation means for us today? We are free. And you know what that freedom means? It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. It means we have nothing to hide. No sinful skeletons in the closet. No deep, dark secrets. No horrible guilt. It means we have nothing to lose, everything to gain. The Apostle Paul said so well, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." It means we have nothing to fear, nor no roaring lion who can devour us, no grim reaper pointing his finger at us. The results of the Reformation reverberate still today. It was an earth-shaking event for Luther. It was an earth-shaking event for the Holy Christian Church. It was an earth-shaking event for you and for me. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. God, our refuge and strength, we praise you for giving heed to our sinful condition, for bestowing upon us your salvation through Jesus Christ. We are surrounded on all sides by your enemies. Increase our vigor to face their wrath and to hold up to the course you have laid out for us. Teach us to forgive as you have forgiven. Lord, increase our love for blood-bought souls, searching out opportunities to share your mercy. We give you thanks for those who by your word now live blissfully in your eternal presence. Grant our joyful reunion on the last day. To you, the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. And we'll pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And dear friends, may the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus make us strong to do his will. And may the peace of the Lord Jesus fill our lives. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.